you. The pressure's on you.
The most informed audience in Kansas City. It's Mundo in the Morning on KCMO.
I told you at 7:05 yesterday that this was possible and that this was a situation worth monitoring and that it may have implications in every major American city in this country, including here in Kansas City. And no, I'm not talking about the AFC Championship game this weekend. Of course it is a Red Friday, and happy Red Friday to you as the Chiefs get set to take on the Bengals Sunday AFC Championship game. We're all fired up here. Mark's got the Kelce jersey on for the first time this season. That looks good. That looks real good. Can't hear you, Mark. Got to put your microphone on. Thanks, buddy. Good job.
Got to wear it this time. I feel another touchdown coming on tomorrow. A big game from Kelce, or Sunday, I guess.
I love it. Well done. I love that jersey, man. It looks good on you with the beanie on top. I've got the Chiefs vest on, so we're ready to roll here. I haven't seen John yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got rolling this morning. But anyway, we're all fired up here. And just to let you know, Kendall Gammon will be here in 1 hour talking about the game. We are going to have on Adam Cook, Patrick Mahomes' high school coach from down in Texas. And then Gerald Wilson, who is set to sing the national anthem on Sunday. Let's go!
Woo!
Okay, so we're setting the foundation for what will be a busy Friday. But as I told you yesterday, this story out of Memphis, Tennessee, is one that we were going to have to monitor closely because it could have implications in Kansas City and across the country. That is the Tyree Nichols death, allegedly at the hands of five cops in Memphis. Now, of course, and you know what? From what I've read in media thus far, even the Kansas City Star has noted the obvious point here. And you hate to have to put it this way, but the big question everybody's going to ask in this case, in this death of Tyree Nichols, what skin color were the cops? And all five cops allegedly involved in this death of Tyree Nichols were black in Memphis, Tennessee. So that's number one. But that is not stopping the potential grifters and the potential hustlers from getting in line and preparing to do what they do. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. The body camera footage is set to be released tonight at 6 o'clock. That is a Friday news dump if I've ever seen a Friday news dump. Let's be honest. You're telling me they can't release it this morning, yesterday? They are just trying to dump that thing on a Friday afternoon and hope it goes away. That's what they're looking to do on that.
They're nervous.
They are. They are. And, you know, I don't know what's in the video. I have no idea. But I do know this much, right? I do know this much. There are certain people who are going to be looking for an excuse to riot and destroy cities. I hope it doesn't happen here in Kansas City, but some people are going to be looking for an excuse to do just that. It's going to be hard, though, to say that this is somehow systemic racism when all of these cops are black cops who are allegedly involved in this death of Tyree Nichols down in Memphis. So there's a lot that we still don't know. How bad is the video? From what you read, apparently the video is really egregious. Okay, but once again, how are you going to, because so many are going to want to put this into a convenient racial narrative. I don't know how you're going to do that when everybody involved is black. Well, there is one way you could do it. I'm going to backtrack on that for a second. There is one way to do it. And the one way to do it is to try to convince people that the whole idea of policing is systemic racism. That's the way to do it. And don't kid yourself. I know you're going to sit there and you're just drinking your coffee and you may have just spit your coffee out. What do you mean? No, do not put anything past some of these people. They will say, and there will be a push potentially, to say that, well, these cops were just caught up in the system. They're just looking for work and they decided to become cops. And it's a systemically racist system and operation, and they got caught up in it. And look at, even now it's impacting black cops. That's going to be a potential talking point here. going forward. It will be a continued effort to destroy policing in some of the most dangerous communities in America today. That's what this could end up being used for after this Tyre Nichols video comes out tonight. Now, here in Kansas City, the police chief, Stacey Graves, put out a video yesterday about the Tyre Nichols death in Memphis. Let's take a listen to what she had to say in this about 40-second video from the Kansas City, Missouri police chief who's been on the job for all of 6 weeks.
On behalf of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, our hearts go out to the family of Tyre Nichols. I met with my command staff this morning to make it clear that here at KCPD, we must reinforce a culture of accountability within the police department from the top down. This accountability brings a duty to intervene if officers witness excessive force or a violation of anyone's constitutional or civil rights. I take this position seriously and the responsibility that comes with it, which is why we're having these conversations. I applaud Chief Davis's swift actions in Memphis to suspend and ultimately terminate the officers involved. This is a tragedy. It should not have happened. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure this does not happen in Kansas City.
Okay, that's great. I mean, you know, that's probably the right thing to do. I think that a lot of that, let's just be honest, okay? And I am pulling for Stacey Graves. I told you that she would be the one to get the job. I thought that she was by far the best finalist for the job. And this is not about her. This is about anybody who would have made that video in Kansas City, Missouri. That is basically a video. I don't want to call it a hostage video, but that is a video from a police chief basically begging activists in Kansas City to not potentially protest or burn things down because of what's happening hundreds of miles away in Memphis, and that we're going to do everything we can in our power to make sure that never happens here. That's what that is. I mean, it's a nice video. I have no problem with the video. But, are you telling me that, and we don't know what's going to happen here in Memphis. I have no idea. We haven't seen the video. What apparently is on the video is a traffic stop from January 7th. It's going to be released tonight, and it shows footage of officers savagely beating 29-year-old Tyre Nichols for 3 minutes. That's going to be disturbing. I'm pretty sure that every police department in America has a policy to not savagely beat somebody for 3 minutes. Nobody is doing this due to protocol. Nobody is doing this by the book if you end up taking those kinds of actions. So my point is simply, the video's nice, but it's really meant as a way to reach out to people and say, hey, we're working here in Kansas City. Please don't go ahead and start like demolishing property because of something that happened down in Memphis, Tennessee. Please don't do that. And you know what? In today's era of social media, you kind of have to do things like that. Sad to say. You kind of do. Do I think anything dramatically changes at KCPD today versus 2 days ago, 3 days ago? No. But you got to do stuff like that in today's environment. So that video was put out by Stacey Graves, the new KCPD chief. And, hopefully for her sake, hopefully for the entire department's sake in this town, they don't have to worry about anything. They should not have to worry about anything. And you know what may end up being their best friend? Seriously. The weather. If you think about it, what made the whole George Floyd thing the perfect situation for that week to unfold the way it did? Obviously, COVID, people home, people not working, itching to get out, be a part of something. Yes, that's part of it too. But it didn't hurt that it was late May, early June, and you can be out till all hours of the night. What's it going to be at kickoff on Sunday for the Chiefs game? 14 degrees, going to feel like 8. Is that right?
Yep, that's about right.
Okay. It's easy to protest when it's 80. It's a little harder when it's 8. I'm just saying. 5767710 as we kick it off on a Red Friday here on KCMO Talk Radio. Good to be with you. Hey, speaking of Red Friday, did you see who's playing at halftime? I'll get to that bottom of the hour. But coming up next, Mayor Quentin Lucas wrote an op-ed in Newsweek about guns. Oh, yeah. We'll get to it next.
Morning on KCMO.
So you got these gangbangers and punks and murderers who are across the streets of Kansas City and other major American cities. And the finger that we're going to point at is not at, you know, these individuals, these murderers, these gangbangers. We're not going to point the finger at them. Instead, what we are going to do, and when I say we, I mean collectively mayors in major American cities who are seeing upticks in violence, what they are going to do is point the finger at Smith & Wesson. Yep, that's what they're going to do. We talked about this with Quentin Lucas, the mayor of Kansas City, yesterday, as you know, his social media team keeps bragging about going after the gun manufacturers. But then I also saw this on Tony's Kansas City yesterday that Mayor Lucas, and this came out after our show, we were off the air by the time this came out. So I'm disappointed that we couldn't ask the mayor about this. It was an opinion piece that he wrote in Newsweek. The mayor of Kansas City writing for Newsweek. And the headline reads as follows. Mayors are not afraid to take on the gun industry. Ooh, they're shaking in their boots. Here's what the mayor writes in part. He says, American mayors recently convened in Washington for the annual U.S. Conference of Mayors, where we discussed how to keep communities safe and stop the flow of illegal firearms. The same discussion we have unfortunately had too many times. The mayor writes, as mayors work to stop bloodshed on our streets, the gun industry gathered in Las Vegas for its annual convention, called flagrantly the SHOT Show, 2 miles away from the site of the deadliest mass shooting in American history. That, of course, was the country music concert festival, which, by the way, you want to talk about unanswered questions? That shooting in Las Vegas at that country music festival still has more questions than answers. That one, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, but that one has a lot of questions. Anyway, the mayor writes, just days after the gun industry show, the nation grieved back-to-back mass shootings in Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay in California. The deadliest result of the gun industry's work to attract new shooters, increase sales of assault weapons, and skirt legal responsibility. Gosh, imagine having the same kind of disdain for the people who pulled the trigger as you do the gun industry. It just, you know, just a thought, right? And is there no irony for you like there is for me in talking about these two terrible shootings that took place in California? Hello, California, the strictest gun control in the entire country. But we're just one more gun control law away. If we just, you know, go after these gun manufacturers, this will all stop, right? It's not about prosecuting criminals. It's not about making sure that people like this are not part and functioning in a civilized society. Nope, 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 nope. It's about the gun manufacturers. Okay, I got it. I understand now. I'm on board. So the mayor in this piece in Newsweek goes on to add, guns are the leading cause of death in children in the U.S. All our voices calling out the gun companies are needed to save our babies' lives. Well, I also won't go down this rabbit hole, but any Democrat talking about saving babies? Awkward. Saving babies is not really a big thing for him, if you know what I mean. But neither here nor there. He adds, all voices are calling out the gun companies are needed to save our babies. My good, it's like these guns just magically appear and go off. The mayor continues in Newsweek, quote, when I took office, I knew gun violence was the single most important issue facing my community, which is why my administration has prioritized innovative approaches to keep Kansas Cityans safe, from investing in community violence intervention to fostering strong partnerships between local and federal law enforcement agencies, to keeping guns out of the hands of domestic violence offenders and even taking on the gun industry in court. But this epidemic is still raging in Kansas City and in communities across the country. End quote from Quentin Lucas. So here's what this is. This is a way to absolve and point fingers when you are completely out of options. And you know how I know this is kind of a last-ditch effort? This is a final straw? Because as I asked the mayor yesterday, we had a record number of deaths on the roads in Kansas City. Yeah, car fatalities were up 20 to 25% this past year in Kansas City. So I asked him the following question yesterday, and here's what he said. So when is the lawsuit coming against Ford and General Motors?
I think we always actually investigate ways that we can make vehicles safer. You've seen that over the years. That's why Americans know who Ralph Nader is in consumer protection. Largely, we have no real protections with things that can be easily managed in certain ways relating to firearms. And
now, to me, these are two very different things he's going for, right? We all get this. Okay, yes, we want to make cars safer on the outside chance you get into an accident. Nobody is actively trying to play bumper carts on 435, right? To get people killed. That's not something that's happening on a daily basis. You know what is happening on a daily basis? People are taking guns in Kansas City and they're shooting them at other people to try to kill them. There's a difference between saying, well, we're trying to make sure that we're keeping people safe on the roads by improving car safety. And, you know, we got to go after the gun manufacturers because they're the reason that we've got 169 murders in this town last year. This ain't apples to apples. I know, you know, many want to make it a convenient comparison, but it's not. And if anyone's being honest about that, you know that. We know that. Everybody understands that. Come on now. Jim out east. I got a minute, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is why our prosecutor will go after somebody who isn't breaking the law, but not the ones that do break the law.
That's interesting, too. You're absolutely right. Well done there, my man. I mean, tongue-in-cheek, but also true. Jean Peters Baker, I mean, she's the Jackson County prosecutor Jim's talking about. She's not a big fan of going after hardened criminals. But, you know, comes to some run-of-the-mill little shakedown, she'll go after you, no doubt about it. It's ridiculous. Coming up with a pit stop in the Bronx with Fat Joe, who is set to perform at halftime on Sunday. It's your man, John.
Well, I was kind of wondering here. I guess maybe Dave Cook and Tate Stevens and Cassie Joy and even Clay Chastain were busy for the weekend. So we didn't use anybody local on this one.
Give me Clay Chastain.
He's busy, man. Yeah.
Fat Joe. Listen. And that's when a Fat Joe's hits Lean Back. What year would that be? Does it sell? 2004. 2004, we're going back. Little Fat Joe. I don't question the Chiefs on a lot. They run a top-notch organization, on the field, off the field. But 2 weeks in a row now, we got a couple of washed-up 52-year-old rappers whose last hits are almost 20 years old. Last week, it was Lil Jon. This week, it's going to be Fat Joe. I don't understand how this happens. I mean, I understand you can't bring back Walker Hayes because he was the guy who played at halftime of the Bengals game last year. And obviously the second half didn't go as planned. So we all blame him for that game. But this, I don't understand the Fat Joe
thing. I'm hoping for snow, leaky, boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to make it. Sorry.
I mean, Tech Nine, they could bring him out every halftime show, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Why not just
Nelly
do Tech
Nine?
Nelly
was good, even though he's from St. Louis.
Nelly was good last year.
St. Louis is part of, you know, Missouri, even though they're across
the state
line.
About Chris Calico, is he still around?
Yeah. Right. He's one of Tech Nine's guys.
Right. Yeah.
That's fine with me. I'll take any of those guys. But we got Fat Joe rolling in here to play a song from 18 years ago? Oh, my goodness. I don't get it. I just don't understand. The only thing I can think of is that, listen, you got to turn this thing around quickly. Chiefs don't have a huge budget, right? So maybe some of the big stars obviously aren't going to show up. But I don't know. Somebody local? Isn't like Melissa Etheridge a local gal?
Right, Leavenworth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, can she come out and play a song for halftime? I don't know. She might be at the game anyway. I don't know. I just, Fat Joe, I'm like, really? Excuse me? But whatever. That's the least of our problems. Good time to, you know, go get one of those $17 baked potatoes they're going to be selling at the game.
Well, see, they approached a bunch of people. They said, but they were going like, who's doing the anthem?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'm following that dude.
I ain't following Gerald Wilson.
There you go.
I'm not doing that. And by the way, he's going to be on the show at 9 o'clock this morning. So is Patrick Mahomes' high school coach, 8:30, Adam Cook from down in Texas. Looking forward to those conversations. Is Kauffman Stadium really as bad as the Royals say it is? You know, the Royals are set to have two more listening sessions around town next week. They're going to be at the Urban Youth Academy on Tuesday night, and they'll be in Independence on Wednesday night. And one thing you keep hearing from the Royals is, oh, man, it's a challenge to maintain the K. You know, they want this new stadium because their lease runs out in 2030, and they want to get a new downtown ballpark. And one of the things that just blew my mind is they're getting set to spend, or they want to spend in their ideal world, $2 billion on a ballpark village. And they even said during their last meeting in early December that it would be cheaper to build the new stadium than it would be to fix the K. And I didn't know if I wanted to laugh or cry or just, you know, be annoyed.
I'm getting pissed now.
Because it seems so wildly insulting to any thinking person that you couldn't fix up the K for less than the $2 billion you want to spend on a ballpark village. It doesn't make any sense. You think about it for a second, it doesn't make any sense, right? So credit to the Kansas City Star. Seriously, I give credit where it's due on this show. I like to goof on them because it's too easy. It's too much good content to goof on them. But when they do some good Big J journalism, I give them credit. So they wrote this piece here, and the headline was, is Kauffman Stadium in as poor a shape as the Royals say? It depends on how you measure it. Well, basically, the Kansas City Star is calling out Royals ownership and saying, you guys insist that the K is about to collapse, right? They're acting like it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It could go any minute. Well, kudos to the Kansas City Star for pulling this up. All right? On the website of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, there are reports that are done every single year. They do annual inspections of the stadiums. And according to these reports, Kauffman and Arrowhead Stadiums are both in satisfactory condition. And there's no mention of anything like concrete cancer, which is what the Royals have alleged is in the concrete at Kauffman Stadium. There's no mention of that. Now, the Kansas City Star asked the Royals about the discrepancy, and they put out the following statement. The shortest and simplest answer is, these are two very different reports aimed at very different objectives. Yeah, because your objective is to get a new ballpark on the back of the taxpayer. That's why. Adding, one is an annual repair plan, the other is about long-term viability. They said, the study referenced in the public meeting came from a leading structural engineer of sports facilities. This firm knows our building well after working on the 2008 renovation. We asked them to evaluate long-term structural issues and the feasibility of extending the existing structure for 40 more years. Cut the BS. Cut the BS, Royals, please. Stop with this crap in thinking we're all morons. Because that's what you're... Now it's getting to the point of being insulting. If they're going to trot around town and talk about how the concrete at Kauffman Stadium has some kind of cancer, when you've got reports done every year by Burns and McDonnell, not exactly a schlub firm, right? One of the top engineering firms, not just in town, but in the country. And they're saying, yeah, pretty satisfactory condition. No mention of concrete cancer. Just be honest. My biggest issue with the Royals thus far and how they've gone about this is not that they want a new ballpark and not that they want taxpayer dollars for their new ballpark. That's not my big issue thus far. I understand how the game is played. We all do. But when you're going to these lengths to put on these cheesy air quote listening sessions that feel so forced and so mapped out and not in any way off the cuff, and you're telling people that, yeah, you know, I mean, we really need this. We desperately need this for Kansas City without truly laying out that vision. And then you're going out there saying it'd be cheaper to build a $2 billion ballpark village than to fix the existing building. And you're saying there's concrete cancer at the K? And then you've got Burns and McDonald doing annual reviews of the building that says satisfactory condition and makes no mention of that. I would think if this cancer of the concrete was truly a threat to the building and the people in the building watching games, that would show up somewhere, would it not? But magically now, when you want a $2 billion stadium downtown and the taxpayers to help pay for it, you're freaking them out talking about cancer of the concrete at Kauffman Stadium. It just comes off as so disingenuous. And by the way, I don't think that's who John Sherman is. I don't think John Sherman, I've met the man, he's been on the show. We've talked, we have some mutual friends, believe it or not. I don't think that's who John Sherman is. I don't believe he's a disingenuous guy. I think he's actually a good, humble man who wants to do best by Kansas City. But man, some of these people around him that just think John Q. Public, like you and I, is just an idiot. That's a huge turnoff. There is a similarity. I'm seeing some of you point this out on the text line. Pete, this is just like the airport. Just like the airport. They said the thing was falling apart, but was it really falling apart? Here's the difference. Here's the difference to me. Maybe there's some of that going on. But at least with the airport, there was a safety issue with how security was done when that thing was built 50 years ago and how airport security needs to operate now in 2023, right? That's one part of it. And number two, the taxpayer was not footing $1 billion for the airport. That's being paid for by the airlines. It's not being paid for by you and me. This is different because we're on the hook for this. They're going to ask for your money. That's what they're going to do. They are going to ask for your money. They have to. They don't have the money otherwise. Steve is in Kansas City on KCMO. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I enjoy your show. I read the article in the Kansas City Star. How come Roman concrete lasted over 1,000 years and Royal Stadium can't last 50? Because I read that article and I was just shaking my head. I thought, you know, just be honest. You want a new ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not happy with that one. Concrete cancer called Spalling.
Yeah.
You know?
Anybody thinking for a second realizes that comes off as phony, if nothing else.
Yes, and you hit the nail right on the head. It's the same little game they played with the airport.
Mm-hmm. It is, Steve. Thank you, my man. It is.
Thank you.
City Hall, Municipal Auditorium, Brush Creek on the Plaza, things that have been paved with Pendergast concrete from the 30s in the work project. So,
and how many buildings can you go back to all over the country,
I
right?
I wouldn't want to, yeah, try to slam into City Hall there. Miss the front door. I don't think it's going to give way for me.
I don't either. Pete, on the text line, when is Concrete Cancer Awareness Month? Oh, that's good. That's good. 5767710. Are you buying this thing from the Royals? I mean, concrete cancer. Meantime, there are annual reports done by Burns and McDonald, and there's no mention of this concrete cancer. And Burns and McDonald says in the annual report that both stadiums, Kauffman and Arrowhead, are in satisfactory condition. Sounds pretty good to me. Well, it's that time of the week, Friday, almost 9 o'clock, and we do it every Friday morning at this time.
It's time to buy, buy, sell,
have it a day and 12 and a half, 15,
and hold.
Let them rip there, John Anthony. Give me three good questions on a Friday.
Buy, sell, or hold. Memphis police released body cam footage of Tyrese Nichols' death. And that results in mass riots.
Okay. So 6 o'clock tonight, the body camera footage is going to be released of Tyrese Nichols, who was killed in a routine traffic stop by 5 now fired cops in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to sell that. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic here for a couple of reasons. That we are not going to get George Floyd-esque riots in the wake of this body camera footage being released tonight. Now, it could get hairy in Memphis, but I think other cities are not going to put up with that crap anymore. They're not going to put up with destruction of property in random cities around America because of a tragedy that takes place somewhere else. Atlanta's already brought in 1,000 National Guard troops. I don't know of anything like that here in Kansas City, but we'll see how the day plays out. But on top of that, you know, George Floyd, what happened there, that was in May and June, right? It is now January. It is going to be cold across most of the country this week, and it will be 8 degrees on Sunday here in Kansas City. It's easy to go destroy property on your spare time in May and June during the weekend than it is in January in Kansas City and around most of the country, for that matter. On top of that, you have these 5 police officers who allegedly killed this man, Tyre Nichols, 29-year-old man at Memphis. They're all black. Everybody involved in this story is black. So all the race hustlers are not going to have anything to latch onto here in this story. It doesn't mean there won't be some protests, but they will be mild, God willing, and they will not be anything of note from the standpoint of, George Floyd-esque riots that we saw back in 2020. I don't see that happening, and God willing, it won't happen in Kansas City or anywhere else for that matter. John, what's next?
Buy, sell, or hold, Joe Biden making sense at his next public appearance.
Sell, 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 sell. Listen to this from yesterday.
No president added more to the debt in 4 years than my president. I misspoke. 25% of our country's entire debt.
Yeah, you misspoke, but you didn't even get the part that you misspoke about right. You didn't even correct yourself properly, right? Like, listen. Right,
no president added more to the debt in 4 years than my president.
What?
I misspoke. 25% of our country's
What are we talking?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
No, he's not going to make sense. Sell that one too, John. Fast sell, my man.
All right, then. All right, here we go. Buy, sell, or hold, Mark's Parlay for the AFC Championship game Sunday at Arrowhead at 5:30. Broadcast on CBS and televised locally on KCTV5.
Okay, Mark, you got a parlay for me. You're trying to hit that first parlay since week one of the NFL season. Yes. You were close. You got 10 of 12 last week on your parlay.
That's right. I just missed McKinnon touchdown and Mahomes over 295 yards passing.
Now, remember, in a parlay on a sports bet, you have to hit every one of them. This is not horseshoes. Every single one of them you have to get right. That's why you get these big payouts on these parlays. So what is this? $5 to win what?
This one is $5 to win $180.
Oh, that's chump change by your standards.
I know. I'm trying to be a little more conservative on
this. All right. $5 to win $180. So if you put down $10, you'll win $360.
That's right.
All right. So give me the parlay.
All right. I'm going to go Chiefs money line. So just Chiefs have to win the game.
Outright. Okay.
Travis Kelce, my boy, going to score a touchdown again for me this week.
Okay.
Chiefs are going to score 27 points or more.
Okay.
Mahomes will pass for 255 yards or more this week.
Okay.
Isaiah Pacheco, 45 yards or more rushing.
Okay.
Joe Mixon from the Bengals, 45 yards or more rushing.
All righty.
Travis Kelce, 65 yards or more receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Kadarius Toney, the X Factor this week, 20 yards or more receiving.
All righty.
Noah Gray. My go-to, I love this one, 8 yards or more receiving. Just needs one of those catches, he always does.
You love the Noah Gray. Okay.
And then my new favorite one that I've seen the last couple weeks, Isaiah Pacheco, 1 yard receiving. So he just basically needs one catch for a positive gain.
All right. That's it. That's pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy it, Mark. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy that parlay. Make sure you put that on Twitter. I'll share it so people can see it there as well. I'm going to buy that one. I like that one. That is conservative. Not the five to win $1,000, but you know what? That one is achievable.
I will say, if Jody Fortson's active, I will be tempted to redo this and add him into the mix. You get plus 10,000, and then I get, you know, closer to a $700 payout.
Oh, okay. All
but
right.
I'm keeping it like it is for now.
Let's do that. All
pass
right.
Pass yardage could be tough to me. We need like a 10-yard pass that goes for 50 more. Get some yaks going there, yards after the catch.
Yeah, that's true. That one is maybe the biggest concern of all. All right. Buy, sell, holding the books. I like it. Donnie in Blue Springs. What's up, Dono?
Do I have to talk about making bets? Because I don't know anything about that. I called in about the Memphis situation.
Go ahead.
I just got a quick hit on it. It's not an extent. I'm going to give you my view about there's not going to be that much of a problem for destruction of property. And I know this is going to warm the cockles of your heart. And it destroys me to think this, but I think this is true. If this had been five white officers that had done this, half of Memphis would be burning right now. It will, and it isn't. And the other cities around here, I don't think there's going to be much of a problem with destruction of property because of the situation as it has revealed itself. Yeah. And I hope to hell. Well, anyway.
Well said. Well said, Don. Well said.
That's what I believe.
Next thing, I would hope that the party that you are such a fan of would stop the race hustling when it comes to cops in this country. I hope that would be next. I hope your boy Joe would stop doing that.
Hey. He's 76 years old. Give him a break.
Oh, God. He's the president. Goodbye. See you later.
Have a good weekend.
By the way, he's 80, Don. He's 80.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, even more then.
Yeah. He's 80 going on 102 is what he is. It's my boy it's not Lil Jon. It's Fat Joe. Sorry. I got my rappers from 20 years ago all mixed up. Lil Jon was last week. Fat Joe is playing this weekend at the AFC Championship game. Kudos to you, smartest listeners in Kansas City. So I'm trying to figure out, and we've been trying to figure out this morning, why Lil Jon and Fat Joe get picked to play halftime of the two playoff games here at Arrowhead. And as one of you noted to me on Facebook, there is a tacos and tequila festival taking place in June at Legends Field. And who is performing? Who is in that lineup? Fat Joe and Lil Jon. So they're going to be here in the summertime. And you know who else is going to be there? Flo Rida, Montel Jordan, Mike Jones, Paul Wall. This is like your Spotify playlist, John.
I like the Georgia Flo Rida line.
Oh, you do?
Georgia Flo Rida line. It was a boom throwaway. Okay.
All right. I see what you did there, John. Okay. Not one of your better jokes, but I see what you went
for
there.
No, I'm too fast for you.
Yeah,
brother.
You're right.
Went right by it.
It did. That was a fastball right by my ear.
I was going to say, if they bring in Sugar Hill Gang or Curtis Blow, I might throw back even farther.
This is, I don't know what this festival is, but they're charging $60 a ticket to see Fat Joe and Lil Jon. I'm sorry. I'm not paying $6, never mind $60 for that.
That's why they're bringing them in for this era. They're trying to cross-promote a little bit, trying to get people out there.
Maybe that's what's going on. Yeah, tacos, tequila, and throwbacks. That's certainly a throwback. By the way, Bill O'Reilly, I was hoping he'd get to the 1980s with his references by the end of the week. He started off the week going back to 1940 with a couple of movie references. And to his credit, Bill was listening. He referenced Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's 1983 hit For What It's Worth. So a little round of applause.
That's from 69, Buffalo Springfield.
Oh, is it really?
For What It's Worth.
Oh, okay. Well, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young didn't redo it in 83?
They may have sung it sometime in concert, since Steve Stills was a member of both groups. Yeah.
Gosh.
Neil Young sometimes.
All right. Well, see, John's the music. Who needs the encyclopedia? Who needs Wikipedia when you got John Anthony on the music side of things?
Georgia Flo Rida boy.
gosh, this guy's an almanac. Look at him back there. Now, speaking of guys who really don't have a lot of knowledge of anything and can't really speak, that would be our president. Yesterday, he was giving a speech, and he was talking about this debt ceiling debate that's going to be taking place over the next few months. I'm not going to get in the weeds of it right now because it doesn't matter to any of us right now. But basically, what's got to happen is the government has to raise the debt limit of how much debt this country can be in to then continue to take out more debt to pay our bills. That's the long and short of it, right? And Republicans are trying to go out there and they're trying to say, hey, we've got to get the spending under control. It's noble. They're right. But the Republicans are total hypocrites on this because when they had complete control, they didn't cut spending. So I really don't have a lot of sympathy for most of these Republicans. Some of them, yes. Some of them are genuinely fiscally responsible and understand that we can't just continue to build up $30+ trillion in debt. But a lot of them are just total rubes. So I can't take them seriously. But regardless, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you're willing to actually be an adult and understand that we can't keep piling up trillions of dollars in debt, I'll have a conversation with you. But Joe Biden doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to do that because he knows it's a political win for Democrats to say, see, Republicans want to throw grandma off the cliff. Look at these guys. Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
What are we talking about?
So yesterday he's giving a speech and he's trying to explain this and he's trying to make Republicans look bad. And he's trying to call out Donald Trump for adding a lot of debt to the country's bills. And he's right about that. Donald Trump was not a fiscally responsible man when it came to how much money he spent. But leave it to Joe Biden to not even explain that in a coherent manner. Take a listen.
No president added more to the debt in 4 years than my president. I misspoke. 25% of our country's entire debt.
What the? No, you misspoke because you said president instead of predecessor. What the heck?
No president added more to the debt in 4 years than my president.
What?
I misspoke. 25% of our country's entire debt.
Yeah, you misspoke because you said president instead of predecessor, and then you said, sorry, I misspoke, but you corrected yourself on something completely different. One more time, because I know you're just getting the morning coffee going.
No president added more to the debt in 4 years than my president. I misspoke. 25% of our country's entire debt.
Okay, I get what he's going for there, but my goodness, man, could you just learn to speak? Is that too much to ask of the president of the United States? Good. Can you just learn to speak coherent sentences? Yes, Trump racked up a ton of debt. Part of that's COVID. You want to blame his being fiscally irresponsible? I'll agree with you there. But come on. Don't act like you're Mr. Fiscal Responsibility here. That's laughable. Coming up, boy, let's go down to Memphis. Today is going to be a big day there. I'll explain why next. All eyes are on Memphis, Tennessee tonight. We are going to get the body camera footage from the death of Tyre Nichols at about 6 o'clock tonight. That body camera footage is going to be released out of Memphis, Tennessee. Now, you want to talk about a Friday news dump, this is it right here. You're releasing body camera footage 6 p.m. on a Friday? You can't release it today, this morning, last night. We know why. That's what's happening. This comes after, and we haven't seen, obviously, anything. Nobody's seen anything, at least not in the media. You had five officers involved in the killing of Tyre Nichols. He was a black man. Now, the five cops were also black. So you can't point this thing to race. You simply can't do it. But it doesn't mean that some people are not going to try to do it. So this comes from a January 7th traffic stop. And I told you yesterday, just after 7 o'clock, that this story was about to pop. And it looks like that's going to happen later today. So according to the family and their lawyers, they say the footage shows officers savagely beating the 29-year-old for 3 minutes. And he eventually died. And you had these officers who were suspended and then eventually fired. But as I noted, you can't tie in a racial element to this because you have a black man with five black officers. But hey, that has never stopped. Don't let the facts get in the way of stopping the Biden Department of Justice on this, all right? Yeah, so the Biden Justice Department is opening a civil rights investigation into the matter. You heard that right. What is the basis for believing that five black police officers beat Nichols to his death because he was a black man? And that has to be what this investigation is about. So prosecutors, and this comes from National Review, Andy McCarthy, prosecutors are apparently scrutinizing it under Section 242 of the Federal Code. The civil rights provision makes it a crime for people acting willfully and under color of law, i.e. on-duty police officers, to deprive others of their federal rights or subject them to discriminatory treatment by reasons of their color or race. Section 242 further instructs that if death results, as it did in this Nichols case, the offending police officers may be sentenced to death or to life imprisonment. Okay. If you're having a hard time understanding how these five young black men might have killed another young black man out of racial animus against young black men, welcome to the club. Because I can't figure this one out either. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the story, and obviously we don't have the body camera footage right now. It's going to come out, and I'm sure it's going to be really heinous. And these officers appear to have acted extremely out of line. They've been fired already. But how you could possibly tie this to the issue of race? While we haven't seen the video, that is impossible to do. Every single person involved in this is the same skin color. Whether they were all white, all Latino, or in this case, all black, they're the same skin color. There is one way, though, that they could possibly tie this back to race. And this is a stretch, but don't put anything past some of these folks who are always looking to divide us by race in this country in 2023. Here's how this gets tied back to race. If the claim from some is that, well, policing is inherently racist, therefore even black men who become police officers basically get caught up in the white supremacy of the United States of America, they're racist and they don't even know it. Like, I know you're saying that sounds ridiculous, and it does sound ridiculous, but I guarantee you that you are going to hear things like that this weekend. I guarantee that you will hear prominent people making that case that policing is inherently a racist activity. So even if it is performed by somebody with black skin, they're not actually really black because they're part of the white hierarchy of the United States of America. I know you want to laugh. I do too. I want to laugh too. But I'm telling you, that case is going to be made. That case is going to be made. And if you think about this story as well, I mean, had this been an incident involving young black gang members killing another young black man on a random night, let's say here in Kansas City, homicide would barely make the news outside of, you know, a mention on Woke 41 or KNBC or KCTV 5 or whatever. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the Biden Justice Department, far from opening a civil rights investigation, would have been turning the blindest of eyes, because that's what they've done over the last 2 years as the homicides have continued to pile up in major American cities. They're not opening up civil rights investigations in any of those homicides. They aren't. But of course, in this case, they're going to, because of their attack on law enforcement. They will do, and it's sad to say, the party at large will do anything they can to attack law enforcement. They can talk a good game and say, we want police to be on the streets. We want to pay cops more. They have spent 2.5 years undermining law enforcement in this country. You know, in Kansas City, they're trying to recruit cops right now, right? They've done things like they've dropped the residency requirement. They have done everything they can to try to get more police officers in Kansas City. And from what I've heard from folks inside of KCPD, they are still having an impossible time recruiting. Why? Because if you want to be a cop right now, where are you going? Lee Summit or East Patrol? Overland Park or East Patrol? Where are you going? I love it. And I know that there are many folks who are policing the streets where they grew up in Kansas City, and they are to be admired. Every single one of you out there are to be admired. But most people who have those options understand that, you know what? I can take one job where I'm far more likely to potentially end up as a national headline. And if the pay is fairly equal, which one are you taking? They have defunded the police without actually needing to defund the police when it comes to money. They've defunded the police by scaring anybody to death of taking the job. And all of these police departments are hemorrhaging people, losing folks to retirement, and they can't replace them. And I don't know what's going to come out of this story tonight when the Tyre Nichols video does come out, but clearly there are already major American cities bracing and preparing for this. And you've got Atlanta that's brought in 1,000 National Guards troops for tonight, for this weekend, in case something bad goes down there. I don't know what's happening here in Kansas City, but I do know that last night, the new police chief, Stacey Graves, put out this statement.
On behalf of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, our hearts go out to the family of Tyre Nichols. I met with my command staff this morning to make it clear that here at KCPD, we must reinforce a culture of accountability within the police department from the top down. This accountability brings a duty to intervene if officers witness excessive force or a violation of anyone's constitutional or civil rights. I take this position seriously and the responsibility that comes with it, which is
named one of the best personal finance podcasts. The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
That's why we're having these conversations. I applaud Chief Davis's swift actions in Memphis to suspend and ultimately terminate the officers involved. This is a tragedy. It should not have happened. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure this does not happen in Kansas City.
All right, that was new police chief Stacey Graves here last night. They put that video up on Twitter. Good video. I'm totally fine with that. But if you watch that video and you listen to that video, do you really think that anything dramatically changed in Kansas City, Missouri Police Department policy 2 days ago to when that video was made? No, no. That video is basically a message to activists of please don't try to burn down this city because I'm doing everything I can. And listen, I'm a Stacey Graves supporter. I appreciate what she's doing. I thought she was the best person for the job. But that video is more of a way to appease activists and the Kansas City Star. And, you know, Rick Smith didn't do a lot of that. He didn't really play that game. I think there's a part of police chiefs in America today where you have to play that game. You have to be active on social media. You have to put out videos like that, even if they largely mean nothing. You do have to do it. And it's smart to do it from that perspective. But do I think that, like, you know, things are dramatically different today at KCPD than they were earlier this week? No. Wes in Gladstone. Go ahead, Wes. Good morning.
Yeah, Pete, good intro. Instead of appeasement, why doesn't the police chief come out and say, you're not going to run wild in the streets?
Yeah.
Get that out of your head, okay? But two, you made excellent points. You can't hire cops these days because nobody wants the job, okay? Where someone needs to investigate this story is, did Memphis have to lower their standards to hire policemen?
Yes.
Because five guys, I don't care what color they are, beating a guy for a traffic stop who had a job, had no priors, something tells me that either they lowered their standards and they're having to hire whoever will take the job, which is bad, or they've had to drop their training or something.
Yes, Westies. Yes.
Someone look into the background of these cops that they hired, because that
you're right.
There's something there. There's something there, man.
Absolutely, man. Have a great weekend. I agree. I've thought of that myself. How many of these guys are new hires in the last year? Listen, standards have gone down. Ask anyone at KCPD right now who's been there for 20, 30 years. They were up against hundreds of guys trying to get into the department 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago. Now, if you can and I'm not trying to be rude to anybody who's going through it right now. You're admirable. You're sacrificing for your community. I have all the respect in the world for you. But the standards of what you have to achieve in terms of, mental acuity, mental knowledge, physical strength, all those standards are down across the board. The standards are down for the military. And this is what happens, right? When your pool of people that you can select from for any job goes down, the quality is going to go down. The difference is, at your office job, it just means, well, the person's not up to snuff. When it comes to policing, it means life or death. Just make it stop. Please make it stop. Oh, politicians and their stupid sports bets before games. I'm sick of it. Oh, I don't care if they're Republicans. I don't care if they're Democrats. Please make it stop. Make it end once and for all. Oh, gosh. Who's doing it now? And this is just awkward. So Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids did a joint bet. Yes, you heard that right. They did a joint bet against Ohio Congressman Greg Landsman. Take a listen to how awkward this is. This is the first video audio clip I'm going to play here, is Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids standing side by side holding a Chiefs flag. And nobody asked for this. No constituents asked for this. You've got kids in the communications department within these offices saying, we got to place a bet. This is what the people want. No, nobody wants this. Nobody. Nobody asked for this. It's not Republican, Democrat. Just make it stop. Here's Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids.
Hello, I'm Emmanuel Cleaver. I represent Missouri's 5th Congressional District, which is the home of the Chiefs. And I want you to know that I had a friend to say to me today that the Cincinnati Bengals were invincible. Well, Sunday, they're going to be vinced.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm convinced that the KC football team is absolutely going to be victorious.
The KC football team from Sharice Davids. What is that?
Oh, we know what that is.
What?
She doesn't want to use
Chiefs. Oh!
Right?
Oh,
KC
man.
Football team.
Wow.
Like the Washington football team.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking about it last night. I'm like, did she just have a brain fart and forget the team's name?
Oh, no, that was purposeful.
I didn't give her the benefit of the doubt. I just figured, like many things, it was a brain fart. Holy cow. My mind has been blown. I'm glad you brought that up, Mark. I'm like, did Sharice Davids just call them the KC football team?
That's where they want it to go, huh?
Gosh, get out of here with that woke crap. You can't even make a garbage, cheesy bet video without making it woke. Gosh, these people.
I'm so convinced that I'm willing to bet Greg Landsman, the new representative for Cincinnati, that we're going to win. I'm so convinced, I'm willing to put the KC barbecue that we've got on the line.
Wow. The greatest barbecue on the planet.
I mean, greatest barbecue.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Let's be real. So let's see what you have to say, Mr. Landsman.
There's your couple of local Mensa members leading the charge in Congress for us. Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow.
So I should delete my tweet to 700WLW and Cincy about wanting to bet with them?
Yes. Yeah, we're not
their
doing
news talk
bets.
Station.
We're not doing
do
bets. No, no, Mark. No, it's so cheesy.
They don't have anything good in Cincy to bet us anyway.
Well, here's the thing, though. If we did something dumb like that as like a radio station to a radio station, that's fine. I wouldn't do it because I'm knocking the whole idea. But you're politicians. You guys are cheesy and cornballs to begin with. You're not helping yourself here. Like that video from Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids. So let's hear from Ohio Congressman Greg Landsman. Before we do that, John, give me something good.
Well, I don't know what the hell we want from Cincinnati. They call it Skyline Chili. Here we just feed it to the dogs. Right? We got Procter & Gamble. What do we need? Some Tide Pods?
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm not sure, you know, what the heck's a bet worth.
Well, let's see. Here's Ohio Congressman Greg Landsman responding to Emmanuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids.
This Sunday, our Cincinnati Bengals play the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, the city is represented by two members of Congress, Congressman Cleaver and Congresswoman Davids, two colleagues of mine and friends. And so this is a friendly bet. The loser has to wear the other team's jersey, and they've got to eat some Skyline. I've got to eat some of the Kansas City barbecue. But I feel good about this. I feel good about Joe Cool and my Cincinnati Bengals. In terms of jerseys, I've got a Burrow jersey, a Chase jersey, and, you know, they can pick in any event. Very excited, and hooday.
Greg Landsman totally got shoved in the lockers back in middle school. No doubt in my mind.
Hooday.
Yeah, indisputable.
Can we talk about that?
Please, go ahead.
Their silly pseudo, you know, the Saints who dat thing, right?
Yeah.
So Cincinnati's now hooday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, I
Come
agree.
On.
Gosh, I want to beat the crap out of these guys on Sunday. So
I'll
bad.
I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
You're the bums that employed Boomer Esiason and Chris Collinsworth. I used to sit through those games back in the day. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. The only thing I like about Boomer is I used to work with a guy at WFAN. He now does a radio show in New York, and he was always a decent guy, except for the one time. I'll tell you a quick Boomer Esiason story. I was probably only working there a year. I was doing an overnight shift. So I'm done at 6 a.m. He's coming on the air for his big morning show on WFAN, the biggest billing sports talk station in the country. And I'm doing the overnight news, the sports updates, so to speak, because they're live and local 24/7. And Boomer, as he's walking in late at about 5:45, 5:50, show starts at 6, he hands me his keys. He hands me his keys. And he says, you know, car's in a spot. It's got to be moved in 10 minutes. I said, excuse me? He's like, oh, yeah, the car's. And then he looks at me and he realizes I wasn't who he thought I was, which was one of the interns on the show. He's like, oh, sorry. Can you go give that to Jimmy? I'm like, yeah, sure, Boomer. Sure, I'm happy to do that. Because I ain't moving your car because I got a sports update in about 90 seconds. So unless I want to get fired, I'm not moving Boomer Esiason's Raptor, which is a pretty cool car, and I'd love to drive it around the block. And I should have just driven into a fire hydrant, but, you know, I didn't want to be a total jerk. Gosh, yeah. Boomer Esiason asking me to move his car once. That was not pleasant. But, you know, I took it with a grain of salt. Outside of that, he was pretty decent to me.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Instead of me, you know, happen to be his driver one day, potentially. We were okay.
I would have just said, shouldn't have parked there, bro.
Should have gotten up on time, Boomer. Come on.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.